Hello, and welcome to this IFSI recording. My name is Stuart Smith, and I'm Marketing and BD Manager at CM Murray. And today's topic is the regulatory response to off-channel communications. And I'm delighted to be joined by three experts in this field. Firstly, we've got Wendy Lazar, who is a former partner at Alton & Golden in New York. And there she led the executive transactional practice, which focused on public companies, private equity, and financial services. And now she is the founder and president of C-Suite Strategies LLC, which is a consulting firm that advises management teams, boards, and businesses on strategic decisions, transactions, and human capital initiatives. I'm also delighted to be joined by Natalie Napriella, who is a shareholder in Carlton Field, New York office. And she represents investment advisors, broker-dealers, executives, and public companies in SEC informal and formal orders of investigation and enforcement actions. I'm also delighted to be joined by Seb Sayer, who is a partner in Fox Williams's London office. Seb's practice focuses on contentious regulatory and white-collar crime, and he advises both individuals and businesses in relation to investigations by the Financial Conduct Authority. And before joining the firm, he was a senior lawyer in the enforcement division of the FCA. Welcome, everyone. In 2022, the SEC put the world on notice when it charged 15 financial services firms for violations of the SEC record-keeping rule, which requires brokers and dealers and investment advisory firms to preserve the originals of all communications relating to its business. While registrants have been preserving electronic communications since 2000, the proliferation of off-channel communication apps by employees since COVID and the rise of remote working has put registrants at risk of fines and even possible criminal actions, even if those communications were personal and not authorized. In 2023, the SEC and FINRA collected over $2.7 billion in fines, and similar actions have been brought by the UK regulators. But it's not just the companies who are paying a high price. Employees too are feeling the heat and are also at risk of financial clawbacks, termination, and even criminal prosecution. So I thought we might start, Natalie, with you. If you could give us the general background on the SEC and FINRA's recent actions in the US, would you mind just giving us a brief overview?
Be delighted to. Good morning from New York. It's a pleasure to be here today. So first, let's define off-channel communications, which generally include third-party messaging platforms, including the use of ephemeral and encrypted messages such as WhatsApp, Signal, Slack, WeChat, instant messaging, and it could also include social media as well as personal email communications. So in 2017, 2018, and 2019, the US regulators, and that's including the US Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, which is a self-regulated organization, they cautioned registered investment advisors and broker-dealers on record practices involving off-channel communications for business-related communications. And then in 2021, the SEC's Division of Enforcement, it commenced an initiative to investigate our record-keeping practices at financial firms. And so the Enforcement Division sent it requested off-channel data from approximately 30 broker-dealers personnel, both junior and senior, over a four-year period. Enforcement then encouraged firms whose record retention practices did not comply with the securities laws to contact the SEC. But by the end of 2023, the SEC has charged more than 40 financial firms and imposed over $2.7 billion in penalties against broker-dealers, registered investment advisors, and duly registered RIAs and broker-dealers. And there's two interesting aspects to these settlements. First, the SEC has required firms to admit a violation of the federal securities laws. Generally, in settlements, the respondents can settle on a no admit or no denial basis, but not in these enforcement settlements. And second, the enforcement orders also impose undertakings to retain independent compliance consultants, which can be very costly and time consuming for the companies. And then aside from the SEC, the CFT brought over 18 enforcement actions against swap dealers and future commission merchants and imposed more than $1 billion in penalties. And FINRA itself has brought enforcement action against both firms and individuals for failing to retain business related off-channel communications. And we can expect that the regulatory investigation and enforcement is going to continue by not only the SEC, but the CFTC and FINRA as well.
Why is this even an issue? Have digital communications always been regulated? Does there need to be any sort of fraud or wrongdoing?
That's a very good question. As Chair Gensler, so SEC Chair Gensler, who we'll mention several times today, he recently acknowledged in public statements that the SEC's record-keeping rules have been an essential part of the market since 1930s. And he said as technology changes, quote, it's even more important, end quote, that firms maintain and preserve these communications. And in 1997, the SEC adopted broker-dealer electronic record-keeping rules that required broker-dealers to preserve electronic records. And those rules had amendments that were adopted last year to the electronic record-keeping requirements. So again, since the 1930s, there have been record-keeping requirements for both broker-dealers and registered investment advisors. And your question, does there need to be fraud or wrongdoing here? I mean, the SEC's anti-fraud provisions extend to off-channel communications. The settlements with broker-dealers include a willful violation of Section 17A, of the Exchange Act and Rule 17A-4B4 thereunder, and settlements with registered investment advisors include a willful violation of Section 204 of the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 and Rule 204-2A7 thereunder. But what's important for the purposes here of willful is defined as, quote, means no more than that the person charged with the duty knows what he is doing, end quote. And that's a very famous case, Once-Over versus SEC, that the SEC cites in almost all of its enforcement orders. So that's the definition of willful for purposes of imposing relief. It means no more than that the person charged with the duty knows what he is doing.
What's interesting here is the record keeping itself is the rule, right? So it doesn't have to be the contents of the off-channel communication doesn't have to be fraudulent or intended to be putting fraud on an investor. It merely has to be breaking the record-keeping rule. Correct, Natalie?
That's a very important point because there has been no allegations of investor harm in respect of these enforcement orders.
Exactly.
That's been one of the criticisms of these enforcement actions that we'll talk about later on.
Then coming to you, Seb, what's happening in this area in the UK?
If I give perhaps a bit of a background to our rules here. So communications recording rules have been in place for FCA, FSA registered firms for a long time now. And really, I think this kind of goes to your final question, Stuart, is what's the point of these rules? So I think generally, from our perspective, there's probably kind of three main reasons why these rules are in place. So firstly, to strengthen investor protection. Secondly, to improve market surveillance. So it's probably that fraud aspect in that. And then also to increase legal certainty. So if you don't have the communications being recorded somewhere, if a customer or a client says, no, this is what I said, if they're not recorded, then there's no certainty as to actually what was said. So that's, it doesn't need to have fraud. And as Wendy says, you know, the rule is, you must record. And so generally our rules for FS firms here say three things. So firstly, that a firm has to take all reasonable steps to prevent employees from sending or receiving electronic communications on privately owned equipment that firms can't copy or access. And secondly, that they must retain a copy of electronic communications relating to a very broad range of business activities for up to 5 years. There are some exceptions to that, but generally it's about 5 years. And finally, that firms must implement systems and controls to ensure compliance with these monitoring and record keeping requirements. Historically, I think that was relatively easy to administer. Emails were on firm servers. workers were often in the office 5 days a week. Some firms would have policies of things like no personal phones on trading floors. So people were using firm recorded lines. Smartphones were much less of a thing. People were in the office. Obviously, all of that's changed quite significantly. In terms of really what the regulator's been doing in this kind of space, it's significantly more limited and certainly in terms of enforcement action compared to the US. So we've had one regulatory case in, I think it was 2017, of an investment bank was enforcement action was brought against this investment banker for exchanging client confidential information over WhatsApp. But really, that's more or less been it from the FCA. What the FCA have done is put out various kind of market announcements and through speeches to kind of signal their discontent with this area. So for example, in early 2021, so right in the kind of middle of the pandemic, the FCA put out one of their regular Market Watch newsletters, and this specific newsletter was just about this subject. And it called out some of the major changes in the landscape. So lots more regulated individuals working from home, people communicating in different ways, alternative ways in which regulated services were being provided, social media, as Natalie mentioned, and also the big one, that the use of apps, WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, creating challenges. So we move on a little bit. We come to October 22. And it was reported in the press that the FCA was having conversations. And I think that there was also a suggestion that they'd sent out compelled requirements to quite a large number of firms here, asking how these firms were dealing with this issue. And that was really on the back of the SEC outcome. So it was kind of the FCA following a little bit what our US cousins had been doing. And as of yet, we haven't had any full-blown investigations being announced of breaches of these rules in relation to those firms. In April of last year, our other regulator, the banking regulator, the Prudential Regulatory Authority, issued a final notice to one of our smaller banks, Wylands, for a variety of regulatory failings. And it noted in that the use of WhatsApp, the use of private devices by some of the senior members of the bank. And then really that kind of takes us to the end part of last year. So there was every year the FCA have an annual general meeting, and they set out in advance what they've done and what they're going to do for the coming year. And the executive director for markets and international was asked specifically about the SEC's actions in this space, and basically said, we're talking to the SEC. We talk to them very regularly, and we're talking to them about this issue. I personally know from my time when I worked at the FCA that there's a lot of conversation that happens between the two regulators. The FCA's previous director of market enforcement and market oversight, Mark Stewart, said that the use of encrypted apps by FS workers was definitely something on the FCA's radar. Whilst we haven't had anywhere near the level of enforcement activity that the US have had, I can see it coming down the line.
And then Wendy, if I can turn to you, I just wanted to know how these recent actions, do you think, how have they affected employees in the financial services world in particular?
Absolutely. I think we've seen the beginning of this, and we're going to see more and more actions that banks and broker-dealers will be taking against employees, because obviously these fines that are so enormous are going to have a tremendous domino effect. And I think that there are probably three major areas that you will see. Employees will be, number one, reprimanded for this off-channel communications, even if they weren't aware that they were doing anything wrong, even if the company had a policy that they were not made aware of. And unfortunately, this is not unusual for this industry. Something happens, there's a fire alarm that goes off, and there's a real big hit on the employees. Reprimands in this industry are very serious because compliance has a responsibility to report regulated employees to FINRA, and these regulations don't give them a lot of leeway. So even if they're not terminated per se, but they're reprimanded, there's generally some kind of a write-up, and this will become a FINRA issue. So that's number one. Number two are terminations. We're going to see, and we have seen, terminations not only for cause in this area, which I will get into in a moment, but also merely breach of policy. So if a company has a policy, and even if an employee is not made aware of it, as I said before, the policy exists that these off-channel communications are not to be used for business purposes. And if they do, they're breaching a policy. And that alone is cause for termination under most offer letters, under most contracts. And frankly, now with an organization like FINRA, they will issue, in fact, something called the U5, which is a very important document. When you take a job, if you're a regulated employee, you take a job, the bank or the organization or the broker-dealer will issue a U4, which will follow you through each job that you take if you go from Morgan Stanley to Goldman Sachs. If you're terminated, the organization files what's called a U5. This U5 will follow you because any regulated bank or company can go online and look you up and see why you left. And this U5, they call it a dirty U5 in the industry if, in fact, you're fired for cause or if you're fired for other reasons, which could be having nothing to do with your performance as a broker, but could be a breach of policy again. And so these issues are really thorny for the employee. The last point I'll make quickly is clawbacks. This is an industry, as we all know, that people do not join easily and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because they're getting paid millions of dollars in salary. The bulk of their compensation comes from their incentive compensation. And the SEC, after Dodd-Frank, they've just implemented their Dodd-Frank regulations that started in 2009 when we had all of the mortgage crisis, and now have morphed into actual regulations and rules. The Dodd-Frank rules really allow a bank kind of open season on clawbacks. It's not just a matter of contracts anymore, although offer letters and contracts do have clawback provisions in almost every single area of financial services now. An employee will have that provision. But now you have a regulatory piece of that, which is the SEC and FINRA and the Commodities Futures Trading Commission are saying, you must claw back incentive comp when there is wrongdoing. So you're going to see unlimited clawbacks. It's not the 2-3 years at Sox and the 3 years of Dodd-Frank for executives. You're going to see tremendous, tremendous clawbacks in this arena.
And then Seb, in terms of the UK, what repercussions have you seen affecting UK employees, if any?
Well, one of the things that I think is important for both for firms and also for employees is to think about how they are being compliant with these rules, because I think there's this general tension between technology and regulation. Technology changes incredibly quickly, and it either works or it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, probably the technology goes away pretty quickly. But what that means is you can get an incredibly helpful, useful app that kind of pops up relatively overnight, and all of a sudden it becomes ubiquitous. Whereas regulation can take, years or decades to develop and keep a pace. And I think in the UK we've had a real focus over the last five, 8 years or so, around individual accountability. And so much more of a there's been much more of a focus on firms being responsible for the regulatory compliance of their employees as opposed to the regulators. So under the SMCR, a lot more of that's delegated to firms. But also there's this real drive towards individual accountability. So I think it's on employees to think about how am I being compliant with these rules. So to give a kind of real world practical example, not in lawyer speak, is if you're dealing with a client, and then the client starts messaging you over, an ephemeral messaging service or using a different app and says, this is just easier for me. Can we do it like this? The obligation is on you as a regulated individual to say, no, I have these obligations and to move it back onto a recorded system. So I think there's probably that tension and challenge that on the one hand, you've got technology and probably clients to a certain extent saying, I want to deal with you in this way, but the regulation just doesn't allow for that. And you're likely to have the enforcers, as we've seen in the US, kind of coming down the road if individuals and firms aren't complying with that.
I would just argue there that that is probably true right now because you've seen $2.8 billion worth of fines, and that employees need to become more aware of this. But I will also say, over the last 10 years, as these WhatsApp and even on Zoom, the chat area on Zoom has been totally allowable. Companies use it, supervisors use it, executives have been using these off-channel communications, and really there's been very little said by the banks and the supervisors and the people who are leading the broker-dealers to say this is not appropriate. So I think, Zeb, what you're saying is true today. I don't think it was true 2 months ago or even 6 months ago. And I would say that, and I think we're going to get into this in a little bit, that certainly the banks have a better chance of loading security software into their systems. They control their systems, the employees don't. And they could prevent a lot of this abuse, and they haven't. They haven't even made it a point. And of course, COVID was, a free-for-all, but as soon as people returned to work, and many of the banks insisted that people return to work very early on in the process, I think management needed to be, and compliance, very aware that this was an issue that they had to control, and they just kind of fell down on the job. So I hear you, but I would argue that the employees are really, victim to a lot of this regulatory atmosphere now, and it was a little too late on the side of the company.
I think what I would also say is regulatory enforcement action, at least in the UK, takes a long time to come. And I think we haven't even slightly seen the tip of the COVID iceberg. And I think all of the stuff that was, as Wendy said, free for all during COVID, that will be a few years down the line, and then it will start to really come out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
So, to Wendy's point, some of the recent SEC settlement orders discuss senior executives. It's actually the senior executives or some of the compliance officers who have violated the policies themselves. So, certainly, tone at the top is one issue that firms need to review.
And then, Natalie, it'd be good if you could tell us a little bit about some of the strategies that you've suggested to clients in order to comply with these regulations and rules.
Firstly, you have to audit your policies and procedures to ensure that they comport with SEC and FINRA's rules and regulations. But significantly, policies alone are insufficient. You must ensure training of your employees with an annual attestation. But again, that's not enough. Throughout the year, you should be sending reminders and emails, webinars, seminars about your record-keeping practices, particularly in respect of off-channel communications. Of course, the firm has to maintain and preserve the off-channel communications. Ask yourself, do you employ an experienced and knowledgeable vendor that's capturing and preserving these communications? And are the communications easily accessible for an audit and for a review? Next, have you issued company phones to your employees that are capturing and preserving these communications? And also, as Seb noted, for individuals who are using their personal phones, and we have to be realistic, this occurs, you're using your personal phone to communicate with clients or colleagues on firm business, or you're offering recommendations to a client, do you have a system in place to transfer those communications, those electronic communications, to the firm's server so that they can be preserved? You have to also ensure training of your CCO, your supervisors, your executives. The tone at the top is very important. You should also regularly review SEC and FINRA rules and guidance, including these recent enforcement orders, to ensure that your policies are updated in light of the ongoing guidance. Also, does your firm have in place corrective or disciplinary action if the individual violates the firm's policies and procedures? And aside from these, and in conjunction with it, the firm should be reviewing its data retention policies and its privacy and securities policies. And the last point I'll make is that the SEC has encouraged in this regard self-reporting and remediation and cooperation. But whether to self-report a violation of a record-keeping practice is a strategic decision that you need to make with your between and amongst the firm and its inside and outside counsel.
Yeah, that's really useful. Thank you. And then just thinking about, have you seen any backlash from the industry at all?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there has been, not only from the industry, but what's so interesting about it is that one of the SEC commissioners himself, a Republican commissioner, Mark Uyeda, has actually criticized the SEC's enforcement actions in this arena. In a speech in November of 2023, he opined that the civil penalties and the SEC settled actions on off-channel communications were, quote unquote, astonishing. And he said, particularly because no investor harm has been identified. And he said that market participants and regulators and investors would have benefited from SEC issuing additional guidance on what's included in the phrase communication relating to the firm's business. So that's number one. Number two, in 2023, 10 trade associations here in the United States, they wrote to SEC Chair Gensler, and they expressed their concern that the SEC is attempting to exceed its authority under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 in engaging by rulemaking, by enforcement with respect to off-channel communications and registered investment advisors. And they're concerned about this because they believe that the SEC is attempting to hold the registered investment advisors to a very broad record-keeping requirement that's applicable to broker-dealers and not into a more narrow, enumerated statutory requirements of the Advisors Act. So that letter was published last year. And then third, the SEC settlements that we've seen to date have been very broad and wide-ranging, from $2.5 million to over $125 million per firm. But there's been some criticism that the SEC has not identified each violative act or how it's calculating, its calculations adhere to the statutory maximum. So these fines are generally beyond any that have been previously meted out for record-keeping violations, and they do appear severe, given again that the orders and the regulators have alleged no specific harm to the customers.
And Seb, just thinking about the UK, is there anything you wanted to add to what Natalie's already mentioned?
I mean, Natalie's stolen all of my good answers. also in addition, perhaps, because the responses from firms are often, you know, very similar across the pond. And firms can also, you know, think about their auditing of and their monitoring of employee compliance around this area. So, for example, if firms are regularly looking at what is on their records and what is on their files, and they're noticing big gaps or gaps where there seems to be lots of communications and then a gap and then communication that kind of picks up from something, but you can't work out what it is, it's really though that's a should be a big red flag for a firm to think something has happened here and we should try and work out and rectify it as soon as possible. And that's a good way to kind of head off the FCA kind of digging around, which isn't helpful really for anyone apart from lawyers, to be honest. And what another thing that firms can also potentially think around, I think what Natalie said around having in place proper disciplinary procedures is absolutely right, but can also firms be thinking a bit more creatively around can we incentivize people to comply with these? Query how you actually do that, but is there some element of a bonus that can be can attract to compliance with these kinds of policies? Because I think it's all too easy to see compliance as a cost for staff, but if you incentivize them in some way, that is good for everyone.
Right, thank you. And then Wendy, just briefly, what would you say are the best practices for employees and supervisors?
So I won't repeat what Natalie said because a lot of it applies to employees as well, particularly supervisory employees. But I think, knowing that there is a policy, being proactive, asking to see the policy. Just because a policy exists doesn't mean that you've seen it, that you've even had a chance to digest it or read it. Ask your supervisor before you go ahead and start WhatsApping your buddy next to you or on Bloomberg, start chatting. Make sure that you understand what the policy is yourself. Be proactive. FINRA also has a lot of trainings for these issues. And they, as a regulated person, you can do that. You can actually go through some of their trainings yourself. I think on the other side of the coin, it's really knowing what your rights are as an employee. There is a lot of overreaching going on here. In fact, it's quite frightening. And there are in place federal rules, federal law. One is the ECCP, which is the Privacy Act that was kind of reignited in 1986, which doesn't allow companies to find out what your password is, what your username is, and in order to look at personal communications. And New York just passed a very, very broad rule in September, where saying the same thing, you can't ask an employee for their password for their account in order to see their communications. So we have this tension between what the SEC is doing and, frankly, what federal and some states have said about privacy rights in terms of your own personal communications. So I think knowing your rights is extremely important, but challenging. How do you fight the SEC? I think the answer to that is hire a lawyer. Hire someone who understands what the rules are, who actually knows what your rights really are. A lawyer that understands the regulatory responsibility that's happening now in the workplace, and someone who could really advise you in terms of fighting an action by your employer or, in fact, preventing an action. So I think hiring the right person makes sense.
Finally, just a question for all three of you. I'm thinking to the future. Given the high financial fines that the government's collected and the robust actions of the regulators last year, who do you think are the next targets?
So the compliance company Global Relay noted recently in its data insights compliant communications that they believe that LinkedIn is probably the next platform to receive regulatory scrutiny on off-channel communications. They also noted that Zoom may be of interest to the SEC in respect of its preservation of recordings and notes. So that's number one. Number two, as well, I should note that the United States Department of Justice has formally incorporated off-channel communications policies into its evaluation of corporate compliance programs. So it and the Deputy Attorney General Monaco issued a memo, and she said that how companies address the use of personal devices and third-party messaging platforms can impact a prosecutor's evaluation of the effectiveness of a corporation's compliance program, as well as its cooperation during a criminal investigation. So we also have the Department of Justice in the United States looking at this issue now as well in a criminal realm.
Any others?
From a UK perspective, I would have thought if history repeats itself, what's likely to happen is the FCA will go for some low hanging fruit to start with, I would have thought. So much smaller firms or maybe individuals who don't have the kind of economic firepower to fight things and are probably up to no good on other aspects. And I would have thought the FCA will probably try and take an enforcement case against one of those types of firms or individuals as a kind of deterrent point and to show that we're interested in this kind of subject. I would have thought it would be some time before we see anything kind of substantive against one of our much larger banks.
I would just say that I think, you know, we're always late on the legislative front. So I would imagine that somebody is going to try to rewrite the regulations on what electronic communications are, since we know that they're not what they were 20 years ago with email, right? We now know that electronic communications is going to be artificial intelligence. It's going to be all of these platforms. It's going to be expansive. And unless that definition really takes hold, people will not develop the correct policies around this and will not be aware of these far-reaching effects that the government will take in terms of regulating this. And I think that's what we've seen, you know, at every juncture. First, there's a huge action by the government, and then it's followed suit by, you know, serious problems in the workplace, and then we see some late legislation, unfortunately, take hold. And I think you're going to see again with bring your own devices. This was a problem 10 years ago. It's going to continue to be a problem until we decide that, you know, every phone and every computer that comes into the workplace has to have some structured security software attached to it that controls the communication, which is unfortunate, but I have a feeling that's coming down the pipe.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Wendy, Seb, and Natalie. It's been fantastic to chat to you and really interesting conversation there. Thank you for listening. And if you do have any questions, we'll include Natalie, Wendy, and Seb's details within the accompanying alert with this. If you'd like to see any more content relating to senior executive and founder issues, please do visit our website, ifcnetwork.com. Thank you so much.